was Fidel Castro emerged triumphant.
The time is the 1960s. The place is Cuba. Tension between America and its neighbor 90 miles across the Straits of Florida is high. Fidel Castro is leading the country into its first decade of communism and forming an alliance with the Soviet Union. Satellite photos of nuclear missile silos appear. The United States attempts a coup that ends in disaster on the Bay of Pigs. Against this political backdrop, a Cuban musical group is taking American-style doo-wop, mixing it with Latin rhythms and creating a big sensation on the island.
Para ustedes ya, música y estrella. Esta noche se inicia nuestro programa con la actuación de los Zafiros.
Los Zafiros, Music from the Edge of Time, a new documentary of the group, is now playing at the Seattle International Film Festival. The director is Lorenzo De Stefano.
It's highly ironic that during the Cold War, the peak of the Cold War, the missile crisis, the Bay of Pigs, that this music was popular. I guess that just shows the difference between people and their governments.
Tell us the members of the group. Tell us who they were.
Miguel Cancio was the founder of the group, along with Kiki Morua, two young men from Cayo Hueso, the neighborhood of Havana. And they then brought in Ignacio Elejalde, who was often mistaken as a falsetti, more of a countertenor, the high voice. And he brought in El Chino, who became the heartthrob, a female magnet, you know, of the group. Maybe some male magnet as well, you know. And then Galban came in 62, and really began tightening up and becoming a musical guide, and it clicked.
Miguel and Galban are the two surviving members.
Yes, they are. Miguel Cancio lives in Miami, and Manuel Galban lives in Havana.
Miguel describes on the film how they got the name Los Zafiros. Would you tell us that story?
From what he tells me, they thought of the diamonds, the rubies, things that glittered, and they were all taken. And Miguel tells this great story about buying his sapphire ring, which he still wears to this day, from a drunken man in Havana who sold it to him for 25 pesos. So he had this ring, blue being his favorite color. And when they were looking for names for the group, he, maybe as simple as this, he looked at his ring and thought of the sapphires, Los Zafiros.
There is also something about the quality of the music, and this was, I think, Galban's doing, in that the arrangements are beautiful.
As Galban says in the film, those recordings were made with blood and fire, basically without overdubs. When they made a mistake, they had to begin all over. These are like 2 or 3 minute gems, pop music, radio friendly, but not throwaway.
The film essentially revolves around the reunion between Miguel Cancion, or Miguelito, and Manuel Galban. And Miguel lives in Miami, and you show him in Miami. He's watering his lawn, and you know, he's talking to you. And this was going to be his return to Cuba. What do you think was going through his mind as he prepared to go back?
Yeah, this was the first time he'd come back and spent time with Galban and walked the streets and recorded again in Igram. So it was kind of a 30-year reunion for them musically. Mm. As far as what he was feeling, basically what he told me in the film was that he didn't know what he would feel. Mm. I guess for any Cuban American, every time they go, it's a very profound moment. As they see family they haven't seen, and life is so different there. I know it was extremely complex and emotional for him, and it brought out the poet and Miguel Cancio.
There's a scene where you were in a park, and there was a group now called Los Nuevos Zafiros, the New Sapphires, and they start singing, one of the old songs, and Miguel and Galban join in. And you have this wonderful juxtaposition of a woman who has to be in her 50s or 60s singing along, and these three little girls who can't be more than 8 years old singing along as well.
Yeah, it's a marvelous moment. It seems to be people's favorite moment in the film when you see these multi-generation responding to the same song. The lyrics are known by heart. The composer of the song, Guillermo Belén Pacheco, was in the crowd that day, quite by chance, and so he's there listening to his own song, done by the new group, with the two older guys in there, and this audience comprised of old and young, and you could see it in his face. You know, a composer doesn't get that kind of moment too often.
For every moment that makes you laugh and every moment that makes you want to dance, there are moments that really make you want to cry. They go to the cemetery to remember their friends, and there's a ritual they go through of spitting on the gravestones. And then at one point, Miguel smashes a bottle, and it seems like he's really angry.
Tino, dejarse en paz.
It's a perplexing moment. The ritual of pouring rum on the graves and drinking and spitting on the grave of Chino is sort of a Santeria ceremony, sharing the drink. The breaking of the bottle is a mysterious moment. I kind of like to let people have their own interpretation of it, but for me, it's frustration that he's not there any longer, possibly the drink was what killed him. You know, it's a multi-meaning moment.
There's a beautiful moment when Miguel is looking out to sea and he says to Galban, I live over there in Florida. And Galban says, I know. It just seems like there was so much unsaid.
Appropriately so. I mean, I don't know, there's just a strong bond, you know, between these guys, and it just kept coming out. We were filming that scene at the pier, and took the cameras quite far away from them so they could be alone, and there's no need to say anything more. You know, I think their lives are separate, and at the same time they were celebrating being together, but what more could you say?
En el lenguaje misterioso de tus ojos hay un tema que destaca sensibilidad.
What are Manuel Galban and Miguel Tancio doing now?
Tancio lives in Florida. I think he's making up for a lot of lost time and being with his family. He's only been in the U.S. about 10, 11, 12 years now. And he's written his memoir. He's always thinking about Zafiros. I just saw him in April. He repeated to me, he says, not a day goes by I don't dream of those guys and those times. Manuel Galban is very active. Musically, he just released an album with Ry Cooter called Mambo Sinuendo, which apparently is doing very well. He plays with Buena Vista Social Club on world tours. He's a very happy man in his early 70s.
There's a lot of tension now between the U.S. and Cuba. Are there political effects of releasing a film like this at this time?
I hope so, and I hope they're positive ones. You know, I think we can't ignore certain things that are going on in Cuba, certain desperate measures that are being taken. This is from a different time. It maybe doesn't apply politically to what's going on now, except for the fact that maybe we have to remind ourselves that despite our differences, these two cultures are incredibly entwined politically and culturally. And so maybe this is a good political time to release the film to remind people that, yes, we are different, and yes, there are aspects of us that are the same, and the meeting ground is music.
Saba, saba.
Lorenzo Di Stefano is the director of Los Zafiros Music from the Edge of Time. The film is now showing at the Seattle International Film Festival in July. It will be shown at the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival and at the New York International Latino Film Festival. Lorenzo Di Stefano joined us from the studios of member station KUOW in Seattle. Lorenzo, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Leanne.
Mírame fijo con los ojos ardientes, con esa pasión que de tu alma brota.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Phil Harrell and edited today by Neil Carruth, with production help from Ned Wharton, David Rector, and Sarah Handel. Stu Seidel is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Hunt.